Record Collections and Recollections. Out of the Box on FBI Radio.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Kate Sarp, and I'm here with you on FBI Radio 94.5, streaming online or on the podcast retrospectively. This is Out of the Box. It's a place where every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m., we dive into one guest's record collection, the stories from their life, and how those things move together. I would just like to start the program this afternoon by acknowledging that I'm chatting to you from unceded Gadigal land, and I'd like to pay my respects to Gadigal elders past and present and recognize the ongoing colonial violence committed across this country. Out of the Box is a show where we dive deep into the guest's record box and pull out the stories of music that they love. And First Nations people have been telling stories across country for millennia. I'm so privileged to be able to do that here today as well. And I would like to extend that respect to any First Nations person listening in, wherever you're tuning in so-called Sydney. This land always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Today's guest is a triple threat co-founder, program producer and filmmaker, Claude Bailey. You might have seen the premiere of performance art program Stories from the Heart at World Pride last year, which was an absolutely massive feat. Claude Bailey and Transmedium were the brains behind the project. I'm so privileged that Claude has taken time out of their busy schedule today to chat with me on Out of the Box. Thank you so much for coming.
A triple threat.
Yes.
I am
multi-hyphenate.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that on the bio. I like it. You know, when you think of triple threat, you think like sing, dance, act. Not necessarily, but in this case. But I'm gonna take it. I like it.
It happened.
Thank you.
You know, like I mentioned, obviously, you're a powerhouse creative person.
Great. Oh God, great. What about these down?
When did you realize that you wanted to pursue the arts?
Always. Yeah. I wasn't very good at the other things like science and maths and such, but yeah, I started in film. I was making those little YouTube videos as a teenager. I recently actually this morning got sent a music video. That's a kind way to put that. It was me like editing myself to It's Time by Imagine Dragons.
Like a video star?
No, I edited it. You wouldn't be able to really tell. It's on YouTube. I found it. I got sent it today and I was like, that is the humble beginnings. You know, I was an only child, am an only child. So I spent a lot of time by myself, which is, yeah. Then that's how I think I got into filmmaking. And since then, I've just kind of stumbled and fell and done all the glorious, you know, learnings to expand. Now I feel like I'm in lots of different mediums and I love it. Like now I want to get into radio. I love these headphones. I feel so serious and cool and I love it.
There's something about speaking to a microphone that you just, it's like nothing else.
The sound of your own voice.
Oh, hell yeah. Why do you think I started?
No, you have a beautiful radio voice.
Thank you. What is it about the medium of film or cinema specifically that pulls at your creative strings?
I think I think it really relates to how I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. It's the way I see the world. Like so for example, I'm walking down the street, I see an old man and he's hailing a bus and he falls over and then he gets back, like, just, you know, like a little detail of something, but then he like falls over and picks up a flower and smells it, I don't know, something, and just that is, like, I call myself romantic garbage. Like, I'm always just kind of collecting all of this romantic garbage. And I don't know if that started when I started making films or that's how I got into films, but I just feel that, like, the way that I am perceiving and taking information in the world is then, like, film is how I output it. Like, I love sensory filmmaking, I call it. I don't know if it's a real thing, but it's
you've done it.
Yeah. But it's, you know, really getting inside someone's mind and seeing the world from their point of view. And yeah, I just feel so cliche. I just feel inside of cinema. My brain feels like it's just super connected to it and always has been.
My like point of view perspective is perfect 16:9 viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That's my aspect ratio, my life aspect ratio. How do you think that music intersects then with your sensory filmmaking practice?
In every way. I was saying to you earlier that I've made like 5 short films and a few music videos, and every film I've made, there's always been one song that really kind of is a big story element of it. Like it really, it like plays in the film, and it is usually at the catharsis moment, just because I find music in my own life is like that. When I go through different things, I really attach myself to different songs or artists, and I feel like it helps me move through a time. Or, you know, so dramatic, like walking home after you've had a really bad night and you play this one song and you're just, again, in that world, and it helps you feel your way through it and process it. So I find that I love putting that into my films. And when I'm writing as well, I have a whole playlist that I call a mood board of all the different songs that kind of have like thematic connections or sound. They've got like a cinematic quality to it. And I just put that in as I'm writing it. And I just feel like it helps me kind of breathe through and like understand the film more beyond just like dialogue. Like it creates a texture to it.
Beautiful. So this first track that you've picked, you know, out of the box, we go through your record collection, we pull out the stories of music that you love, is by The Big Moon. And you said that when you found this track, you were on the hunt for a specific song for the soundtrack of your, you know, one of the most important parts of your film Right Here. Could you describe that scene for us and how this song sort of interacts with the visual aspects?
For sure. So the film is called Right Here. You can watch it on ABC iView.
Plug.
And it is about a 15-year-old non-binary teenager who comes out to their parents. You don't really see it. It doesn't go very well. But then they materialize magic realism, don't know how, at their future self's birthday party. And they see the life that they're going to live, the community they're going to have. I wanted to make it because I work a lot with queer youth. I wanted to make something that was tangible hope of a future for them, because I feel like when you're a teenager, if you're in a family or a school or a cultural group or a religious group that doesn't necessarily accept you, it's really hard to you know, move through that. You feel so isolated, you're so vulnerable. Like, I'm not going to read the rates of things, but like it's really difficult. So I wanted to make something that they could watch and feel inside of them. The film is called Right Here. I'm actually wearing the ring that is in the film. It's like what the older self gives the younger self as kind of proof that everything is inside of them. It's all going to happen right here, etc. But this song, I needed a song for this like main dance scene. The older self, played by Zoe Tarakis, who's my best friend, like tells the younger self, hey, this is your song, come on, let's go and dance. And the younger self's very hesitant and not very embodied yet. You know, when you're a teenager, you're a bit awkward and gangly, and like dancing on a dance floor with all like the really cool, attractive, hot queer community is still, for me, very overwhelming. Like, they are all, you know, performers, and like they move their bodies in ways that is very impressive, and I feel sometimes like an awkward teenager.
Any kind of body expression is worthy though.
Oh, thank you. I will. I've been actually really enjoying dancing lately.
Yay.
But yeah, so I wanted to have a song that kind of encapsulated this feeling of embodiment and connection, and the older self sings it to the younger self, and then the younger self starts singing the lyrics back, and then they start singing it by themselves. And it's just, it needed to be a lot, which is a big thing to find in a song, but I found this song and it was just perfect. And when we were filming it, everyone had to learn the lyrics, all 50 extras and the cast. So everyone all day, whenever we had a break or anything, we're all just singing it together. And it was the most euphoric thing to film it as well. I just like had my little iPad with the monitor on it, and I just was not screaming at everyone, but I was like, louder, go, dance, ah! You know, it was what the feeling that we were trying to capture was happening in real life. I'll let the song sing for itself.
Well, we're going to sing along to it right now here on FBI Radio. This is the first track that Claude Bailey has picked today for Out of the Box. It's called Your Light by The Big Moon. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep chatting right after this. My name's Kate Sarp. Keep it locked in FBI. such an anthem here on Out of the Box on FBI Radio 94.5. That was the first track our guest today, Claude Bailey, has picked. It was Your Light by The Big Moon, as featured as one of the final really, you know, poignant tracks on their short film right here. My name is Kate Sarp. We're going to keep the conversation going. Claude, we're feeling good.
Yeah.
Feeling ready.
Yeah.
We're tracking on.
Let's do it.
So, filmmaker, we spoke about your film, but I want to know, can you tell me more about the first time you picked up a camera?
Ooh, yeah. It's really interesting. When you say filmmaker, people then think you're really good at using cameras. Not me. I was a videographer for a few years when I was in film school, and like I had no idea what I was doing. But I have picked up a camera, to answer your question. It did start when I was like 14, I was really into the Hunger Games. I went to the midnight premiere every year. I like dressed up as Peter.
Wow.
I put my hair over my head. I brought a baguette. I put flour in my face. So the first times I picked up a camera was me recreating scenes from the Hunger Games with my friend in the bush. We like brought knives in, which like looking back, if you found these kids filming themselves like walking around with knives, it was... Yeah, it was pretty rogue, but that's definitely where I started. But I don't love cameras. Shocking. No, I just, they're so intimidating. Also, the more you work on bigger sets, the cameras are so scary. They're so big and terrifying. I don't want to touch them. I just want my lovely camera team and Cine to do that. And I say, I love you. I don't want to touch that.
I feel like if I just looked wrong or like breathed in the wrong direction in front of like a red dragon or something, like all chaos would break through.
Oh, you know, a red dragon.
You know, I dabble.
You dabble.
And so filmmaking, the radio, there's this little segment that I like to do called What's the Score? So it's where we take a look at our favorite film soundtracks, original film and TV soundtracks, what makes them good. Music is so important to visual mediums. I think that they really do add to the story. What kind of atmos, how do they convey and drive the plot? So as someone who is much as a film bro as the next person, I want to talk about your favorite soundtrack to a film. So the film that you've selected today is Giacoppola's 2014 Palo Alto, soundtracked by Devontae Hines, also known as the wonderful artist Blood Orange, who is also producer Bela Haidu's absolute favorite. How did this film first come to you?
It came to me when I started getting into cinema. You know, before
cinema
that,
proper.
it was The Hunger Games. Then it would is cinema.
Yep.
And I started to, you know, watch different directors' work, start to define my own taste. And I found Palo Alto, and it's not my favorite film ever, and it's not perfect by any means, but it is about a bunch of teenagers in Palo Alto, a town in California. And it kind of reminds me of like Petra Collins photography, and
yep.
There's like a real texture and a real feeling of adolescence, because I found it when I was a teenager and I just felt like, hey, this gets it. This gets like all the angst, all the beauty, all the romanticism I was feeling without making fun of teenagers. It just felt very apt. And I watched it all the time, and the soundtrack is my favorite soundtrack because they used a lot of Dev Hines throughout the entire film, and there's a few different songs, but they also got a few other artists that kind of with consistent sound, and it really added tonally to the film. Rather than having like soundtracks these days which are just like a jukebox, you kind of put in everything, I like it when it really matches the tone of the film and it is consistent. So I really felt drawn to this song. And also when I'm, you know, working out the music for my film, I've often just put a song in I really love and think captures the mood. But as I'm writing a film at the moment and trying to work out what kind of texture and sound it will have, I have this love of this like quality that's kind of like Beach House. You know, it's like this shimmery cinematic sound. And I think it really was inspired by this film and this film soundtrack. So I just think it will bring you back to your adolescence in a way when, at least for me, I was just so romantic and I was, you know, had my headphones on, looking out the window, just like in a music video. I was just, I was thinking, I was processing, I was feeling, you know, it's got adolescence in a way that is true to it and we're not making fun of it, and I love it.
It's just this like whole ethereal watching, viewing, listening experience, and we're going to experience that right now on the radio.
Whoa, get ready.
Here is Palo Alto by Devontae Hines, okay, Blood Orange, from the film Palo Alto. And I hope you have a little bit of a coming of age experience as you're listening to this.
Reminisce, please. Yep. I'm sorry.
We're going to be keep chatting right after this as well. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into Out of the Box with me, Kate Sarp, on FBI Radio. Keep it locked. Palo Alto on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. My name is Kate Sarp and you're tuned in to Out of the Box. Our guest, Claude Bailey, just picked that last track too. And we've spoken about things, filmmaking, about being a creative. And now we're going to change directions a little bit, talk about some community organizing, if I may. So we first got in contact last year about a trans youth art event that you organized through your project Transmedium. Could you tell me more about its aims?
For sure. So, as you said before, I'm a triple threat.
Yep.
One of those threats is that I'm a program producer. I run two programs that are workshop programs specifically for queer and trans youth. It is something I just started in the last year, and honestly, it feels like it's interesting. It feels very connected to filmmaking. Feels very connected to directing. My favorite part of directing is facilitating space, is making people feel hopefully comfortable in a space together. And that is what these workshops are all about. So I have Stories from the Heart, which is the one you mentioned, which is an annual program for trans and queer teenagers. We started it as part of Sydney World Pride, and pretty much 8 teenagers get selected. They have to like come up with an idea. It just needs to be a performance idea. And then we have 4 workshops over a month where each day it's run by a different queer established artist, and they both mentor the kids and help them, you know, like create their piece, but also give them like invaluable insights about life and community and community building and future building and resilience and things that you really do need as a queer or trans person in this world, unfortunately. And then they perform their final piece as part of a showcase. And, you know, we did it part of during Sydney World Pride last time. So the audience was filled with community, and it was just one of the most beautiful, healing experiences, not just for the kids, but also for everyone in the audience. A lot of people just felt, as we were watching these young people be brilliant and create these pieces that really evoked a lot and said so much, everyone was like, wow, I wish I had this. And also, the future is in great hands. As I said, I work a lot with queer youth, and it is the best. They are so brilliant and they have so much love to give you, and you learn so much from them. And I find that these workshops have changed my life and given it so much meaning.
And what can we expect from this year's cohort of Stories from the Heart? Are you able to give me a little bit of insight as to what stories might be told?
So this year's has been postponed for a period of time due to a lot of different circumstances, but we're about to open, we're going to open applications, I think, soon. So I would say for that to head to the Transmedium Instagram to be up to date. But I have another workshop program that's with the Sydney Opera House called MISC, and that is monthly workshops where we get a different queer artist every month to come in and teach the kids something. We've had poetry, we've had life drawing, we've had zine making, we've got a songwriting one with Alex the Astronaut coming up, and those applications are always open. So, you know, There you go.
We're going to chat more about MISC later on after this next track. So this one we're going to listen to is by Solange, Love. And so the moment it starts, it sort of sounds like a euphoric moment of just absolute pure queer joy. Could you describe the first moment you heard Losing You by Solange for me?
I don't remember the first time because... honestly, it's so strange. Losing You by Solange really reminds me of that Palo Alto sound. Yep. Like, they feel like cousins, and I want to put this song in a film as, like, reference to that. But a memory with this song is I just previously was living in this beautiful trans house. Her name was Sabrina. We recently all disbanded. It's very sad. And we had really great parties because this house was huge. It was amazing. And... we had a party for our housemate's 30th, Dylan, and it was a great party. There was bespoke performances, like Betty Grumble did this amazing poem. Everyone was there. The dance floor was seething. It was just a historic night. And then we all were going to a late night queer party, and Dylan hired a party bus. So we all, like the whole party, went onto the bus, and then Losing You came on. And I don't know what... something happened on that bus. Everybody knew that song, obviously, like everyone there is queer. And something came out of all of us. Like everyone was all over like the freaking railings. And
oh my goodness.
Everyone also is performers, drag performers, like dancers. So the quality was also very high. And the, yeah, I felt euphoria. I felt ecstasy. It's good, and every time I listen to it, I just can't help but dance.
We're going to be dancing in the studio, mm-hmm. Okay? That is definitely going to be happening. You're not allowed to not get up and boogie. If you're listening right now live, get up and dance. You're driving in the car, I give you permission to tap that goddamn steering wheel. And if you're listening retrospectively, please go and check out this track right after this. We're going to be listening to Losing You as picked by Claude Bailey here on FBI Radio's Out of the Box. More about MISC right after this. It's so good. I almost want to keep this track on a loop. Losing You by Solange on FBI Radio. Oh yeah, the sound. Wow! So good. You're tuned into Out of the Box on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. With me, Kate Sarp. We've still got a couple tracks left. This one's a banger, though. Absolute favourite. And so Claude Bailey and I have just been chatting about their program, Transmedium, about being a creative. And now we're going to dive just a little bit deeper into MISC with the Opera House. So I think that there's nothing that you don't do. You're such a busy person and so community-minded. I think that that is just so unbelievably inspirational. And Transmedium's focus on queer teens is definitely something that I would have loved to be a part of when I was figuring out my own queer identity. So the MISC artist program in partnership with the Opera House, can you tell me a bit more about how that came to be?
As I said, in the last year, I've really started to start working in this kind of queer youth space. And the great thing and the shitty thing about it is there's not a lot of stuff out there. There's companies like Minus 18, Wear It Purple I also work for. But it's not super populated, which sucks on a, you know, general note in terms of how needed it is. But on the other side, it means that there is so much opportunity. So also anyone out there who's interested, like dive right in. I think this is the future. I just had a meeting with someone at the Opera House to ask them about other stuff, mainly about education and how to access queer teens, because as we were just talking about, it is really difficult to access them. They are kind of buried deep within schooling systems or families, and especially if they're not necessarily in the community yet, which a lot of them aren't. I was having this coffee, and then the person at the Opera House was like, hey, if you have an idea. And I was like, I do. And then it happened. Yay. Like all of this, I just find that it organically happens because it's coming from a place of wanting to make the world a better place for queer youth. Like I am doing that. I'm now sounding like a martyr over here. No, I just love it. And it means a lot to me.
It's Definitely so unbelievably important. And what is it about specifically, like, the coming of age or teenager stories that you connect with? I know that, yeah, in my experience, being a queer kid is really challenging. And so if I had had something like that, I would have just been in love.
Yeah, I think that, honestly, recently I've been reflecting on my teen years, and I think I was really lonely. I think I had a really hard time. I didn't know I was queer, and I went to an all-girls Catholic school, which is a recipe for disaster. And when I was a teenager, I remember turning 16 and feeling a real connection with myself, like a kind of spiritual connection with myself. I remember being at a party and going outside and looking at the moon, and I don't really know what the epiphany was, but I just felt myself, maybe like a higher calling come in, I don't really know. And I began to really romanticize and be obsessed with adolescence. But I look back and I think, yeah, I was really lonely, and I really, really needed programs like this and role models to look up to. So like how I made my last film right here about the queer younger self, I made that for my younger self. And I think I'm doing a lot of this for my younger self and healing my younger self, because the relationships I'm forming with these teenagers, as much as I'm sure I'm impacting them, they're impacting me so, so much. I really feel so grateful for them. They're so funny and they're so quick. They really pick up everything. I wanted to come on this show today as well, because as I said, it's really hard to find them, especially if they're not in community yet. So if you're listening and if you know any trans or queer teenagers, specifically between the age 15 to 19, but also we're open, please tell them about Transmedium, tell them about these programs. I really want to find the teens who wouldn't be able to access this normally, because they're the ones who really need it. And I have all these beautiful queer artists who come in and mentor and provide this healthy role model and this enlightened witness in these kids' lives. And I just think it's life-saving stuff, because a lot of kids don't have that and don't have the resources, and then it can get bad.
And so all of the links to everything will be up on the program's page. If you're listening live right now on the website, fbiradio.com, you can just click on today's show and that will be all there, as well as retrospectively if you're listening, but back wherever, you can go and access all that information. Also, more ways that you can reach out to Claude and all of the work that they do specifically with Transmedium and things. The link tree will be up there for sure. And it will also be in the descriptions of wherever you get your podcasts to, all those links as well. And speaking of healing and fostering community, I think one of the most beautiful things about music is how it can share the artist's lived experiences in a way that connects with our own. Did this next song that you've picked, Cycles by Frank Sinatra, offer you a moment of catharsis when you found it?
Definitely. The story of this song, it's a bit of a random one, is my mum was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, and we've been on that cancer journey for a while. And then, she went into remission, got it again, and there was a weekend where she got diagnosed again with cancer. And it was it's a weekend I'll always remember. Like every time kind of something really hectic happens, you just remember it. I keep talking about the texture of it, but I really feel like you feel like what the weather was like or what you're wearing or whatever. And I had this weekend where I went and just drove straight to her and spent the whole weekend with her. And my mom's Irish, so there's a very, there is an Irish stoicism humor to her. So we didn't really talk about, we talked about it a little bit, but we didn't really talk about what this meant. And I just felt like I was holding everything inside of me. Throughout the weekend, we went to Mike White and Jennifer Coolidge, which was such a strange experience. She fell asleep next to me and I just felt like I was going to burst, but I couldn't because I didn't want to do that in front of her. And eventually at the end of the weekend, I drove back to my beautiful trans house. And as I was driving, my car doesn't have an aux cord, so I have CDs, and people always give me random CDs. And I had this Frank Sinatra CD, and I popped it in, and I listened to all the songs, and then this song came up. It was number 17. It was called Cycles, and I heard it, and it just made me sob in the most cathartic way. It was so, so, so helpful because I felt like I was holding all of this in. And I listened to it on repeat the entire drive, and probably for a few days. It was the only thing that really balmed that feeling of everything kind of falling apart around you, but that being the cycle of life, and that things will get bad and then they'll get good and then they'll get bad and then they'll get good. Kind of like Angie McMahon's new album, Light, Dark Light Again. I love cycles. So yeah, this song really got me through a really hard drive, and then I listen to it still, and it brings me a sense of calm, because this is just what life is. It's just going to go up and down, up and down, up and down, and there's no stopping that.
Thank you so much for sharing such an intimate story with us. And, you know, the track sounds quite upbeat at first, but then when you listen through really to the lyricism, it is quite heavy. So just keep that in mind with this next track. We're going to be chatting again right after this on Out of the Box on FBI Radio. This is Cycles, as picked by Claude Bailey. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
So I'm down and so I'm out, but so are many others. So I feel like trying to hide my head.
I was saying to Claude just then that I don't know if Frank Sinatra has ever been played on FBI Radio.
You're welcome.
There's a first time for everything, honestly. And what a great selection that was. We were just listening to Cycles by Frank Sinatra here on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. You might also be streaming live on the website, fbiradio.com, or listening retrospectively wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Kate Sarp. Like I said, Claude Bailey is in the studio, and we are almost up with the show today, which is actually really tragic.
It is tragic.
I've had such a wonderful conversation today, and Claude, I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing your life and your stories with us and the music that you love. And, you know, we've had a great chat about queer joy, creativity and storytelling. How can listeners find more information about Transmedium, Stories from the Heart and MISC with the Sydney Opera House?
All of it is on the online. It's all
on the World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web. There's websites, there's Instagrams. I would just head over to Transmedium Instagram if you want updates. Yeah. Also, I'm really not really sorry that you had to, everyone had to listen to Frank Sinatra, but you know, it's a bit of a downer, that song, but I hope it provided anyone who needed a little hug through the headphones. Well, I have headphones on, but I hope that it gave people some comfort, maybe.
I will give an invisible hug right now.
Me too.
Both of us hugging in the studio.
Lovely. It's going to be okay.
And I mean, like we just spoke about, well, like we've been saying for the entire hour today, I don't think that there's anything that you don't do, Claude. Can you tell me about something, anything that's coming up next for you?
Oh, honestly, between working at Wear It Purple and two programs, and I'm writing a film at the moment. I literally can't say anything about it because I don't really fully know what it is, mm-hmm. but I haven't written in 3 years, and it is the most beautiful, cathartic thing ever. Like, I missed it so much. So eventually, who knows when that happens, but I'm just trying to be slow with myself. Try to go for an ocean swim most days. I want to get a dog.
All right.
I want to get a black Labrador desperately. Yeah, that's...
So if anyone, you know, knows anyone who knows someone who's got a black Labrador...
Puppy. Or, I want it to be a puppy.
Or in a foster home, something.
Yeah.
Please hit Claude Bailey's line. They will be very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And do you have, like, a dream creative to work on a project with?
Oh, wow. I honestly feel like I am working with, because I get to hire my queer friends, but also amazing queer established artists. I really get to work with so many incredible people. I just think of someone, I'm like, oh, I really like them. And then I get to learn and work with them. So I have a list, and I'm not going to reveal the list because I don't want those people to know until I approach them. But, you know, I've got a dream list that we're slowly climbing.
They don't need to know that I'm obsessed with them.
No.
It's strictly professional. So this last song that you've picked, it's got such a syrupy, sweet sing-along, and it really does sound like something that comes on at the end of a silly night, maybe at the end of a silly podcast like this one that we're doing right now. Could you paint a picture of the party that birthed your infamous performance to Robin's Ever Again?
Totally. So something that I've been prone to do, I haven't done it as much lately, is where I'll be at a party or somewhere and a song will come on and then I will do a bespoke performance in that moment. So I was at a party and it was towards the early hours of the morning and I was like, okay, let's wrap this up. And I walked off the balcony into the bedroom and there were these three or four people in the bed and Ever Again by Robin came on, and I don't know what came over me, but all of a sudden I was rolling on the ground. I was climbing on top of the, I was doing a whole thing. Some would say a beautiful performance. I don't know. And then I went to the bathroom, threw up and fell asleep on the couch. And that was just that, you know, I was like, what a fun situation. Never thought of it again. And then months later, someone came up to me and was like, hey, did you perform a Robin song at a party? And I was like, yeah, I did. They were like, I was in the bed that night. I remember. And so, yeah, just to round this up, that's what this song is. That's how I, you know,
it seems like you were embodying Robin in this cover art here for the album Honey. Got one of those, like, lying on the bed, like, really sultry sort of eye contact forward. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was sultry, but... sure, I'll take
it. I would believe that it would be.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it was, if anything, who is this random person doing this little dance for us?
Free show.
Free dinner and a movie.
There we go.
I don't know what they were eating, but lucky them.
I mean, thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the live show and you want to listen back wherever, whenever you'd like, you can head to fbiradio.com/programs and click on Out of the Box with me, Kate Sarp, and Emily Elvish, or you can find this episode wherever you get your podcasts. There will also be links to wherever you can find Claude Bailey's work and more information about applying to Stories of the Heart, attending the MISC workshops, and so much more good stuff. This has been Out of the Box with me, Kate Sarp, on FBI Radio. And this episode was produced by Tanya Shukla executively. And today's show was produced live by Bela Haidu. Thank you so much for the conversation today, Claude. It truly has been so wonderful.
Thank you as well. It was fun. I like talking into a microphone.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like it.
And if you're listening live, you should stick around for lunch with Jenna Parker. And if you've listened retrospectively, I hope you have a good whatever time of day. Have a good afternoon if you're listening live right now. Emily Elvish will be on the mic next week with a wonderful guest. It surely is not one to miss. As always, anyway... My name's Kate. This is Ever Again by Robin, as picked by Claude Bailey. I hope you have a good afternoon. Stick around for Jenna Parker. It's going to be awesome. See you later.